So Maharaj's question is, we don't take the...
Right. We are told we shouldn't bring our japa mala inside the bathroom. We shouldn't hang it outside the bathroom. The same time we go in the bathroom with Gopi Chandan Tilak on, with Kunti Mala, which is also Tulsi. So the point is that we, as far as possible, we avoid taking these pure things in. Kunti Mala, to take it off every time would be rather troublesome, so some allowance is given like that. In some sampradayas, they only wear the Tulsi Mala at the time of puja, not at other times, but we wear it all the time. It's just a point of practicality, that's all. Yes, please.
When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes to actually hold his tongue to not chant, but then a child said that, why aren't you chanting, that anything can happen in the bathroom, so should you chant?
Well, not exactly in the bathroom, because in Vedic culture, one doesn't pass stool and urine indoors. It's actually uncivilized to do so. But in Western civilization, they think it's civilized to pass indoors, whereas in Vedic civilization, it's uncivilized to pass indoors. One should pass outside, a long distance away from any residence. The whole residence becomes impure. So anyway, the point is that story is there, that there's one story, it's not in any shastra, but it said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was once passing while holding his tongue, and one boy saw him and asked, why are you holding your tongue? He said, because I am always chanting, so I don't want to do that while evacuating. And the boy said, no, you should go on chanting even when you're passing, because by your chanting you're purifying the whole world. So that boy was later known as Gopal Guru Goswami. So what's the question?
Should we also chant when we're in the washroom?
Should we also chant when we're in the washroom? Well, Kirtaniya Sada Harihi, it's recommended to always chant. This Chaitanya Charitamrita also states that Kayate Shuite Jota Tata Namaloi Desha Kala Niyam Nahi Sarva Siddhi Hoy. Whether one's eating or lying down, in whatever situation one may be, one should chant the holy names, because this bestows all perfection. So normally one wouldn't perform dharmic activities while eating or lying down. For instance, you can't do a yajna, putting ghee into the fire and pop some chocolates into your mouth while you're doing it. And you can't do it lying down. You can't say, well, I'm feeling tired, so I'll just lie down and pour ghee in the fire. But one can, even when lying down and eating, one can chant the holy name of Krishna. It's not, that means one can add the chanting to that situation. Not that we chant our stipulated japa while lying down, but even while lying down we can chant the holy names of the Lord. In all situations we can do. That's a special allowance. There are different practices of devotional service. There are certain rules for all of them, including chanting, but for chanting there are much less rules. For deity worship, there are many rules. One rule is don't put your hand in your mouth. I saw Prabhupada, he stopped a whole yajna because there was one boy with his child with his hand in his mouth. Prabhupada stopped the whole yajna, told the mother, take out the child. His baby, maybe 1.5 years old. He said, this baby is contaminating the whole sacrifice. So take him out, wash his hand, and teach him not to put his hand to his mouth. So you should learn that you're also drinking, not touching, but you're putting the flask on your chin. But you have to drink so it doesn't touch at all, otherwise there's no point. These are what we may call minor rules. The main rule is to chant, but these minor rules are also important. For instance, if you're going to worship the deity, then you have to know all these things. Otherwise, you'll be unclean. In deity worship, there are many rules. Cleanliness is the first. Of course, we may say bhakti is the first consideration, but in bhakti, we want to do everything nicely for Krishna, isn't it? So we don't go to worship the deity in all dirty clothes. We have to bathe first, put on fresh clothes, keep our hand away from our mouth. Again, you're doing, you see, you have that habit. Keep the hand away from the mouth.
One last question.
Yes, please.
Actually, I would like to bring non-devotees to become devotees, Prabhu. So, like, could you tell me how can I explain that?
How can you explain what?
Like,
this is a seems to be a common habit. Everyone says like, which has no meaning whatsoever.
Devotee to become a devotee. So, how should I explain that Krishna consciousness is more better than
than materialistic life? It's not difficult to explain that devotional service is better than materialistic life. Not everyone's ready to even listen to it. Most people are not even interested to listen to an explanation. The first thing is to awaken people's interest. First thing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Janma Satak Kari Karo Para Upaka. First we have to make ourselves successful by the practice of Krishna consciousness. Then there's a possibility of communicating it to others. It's not simply like teaching a... That was a proper usage of the word like, by the way. It's not a banned word. It's not like teaching an academic subject. At school, the teachers teach you... The only qualification they have to have is that they know the subject and they're trained in communicating it. But what their character is has nothing to do with the teaching of the subject. But in Krishna consciousness, it's not just something that is learned, but it's experienced, it's felt, as you were saying, in chanting the holy names. It should come from the heart. So if we ourselves are full of Krishna consciousness, then we can communicate that to others. To explain, we can explain this material world is full of suffering. We are meant, by nature, we are meant to be happy. Otherwise, why are we seeking happiness? But there's no actual happiness in this material world. Many people are not ready to hear that. We can explain, there's birth, death, old age, and disease. You can't avoid it. We should come to that situation where there is no suffering. So this way we can explain. But it's not that everyone's ready even to hear it. So, if we study Srila Prabhupada's books very deeply and live according to them, then we will be empowered by Srila Prabhupada to communicate what he wanted to communicate to us. We'll be able to communicate that to others. We have to study this philosophy very deeply. It's also very helpful to listen to Srila Prabhupada's recorded lectures and hear how he explains. And maybe even more also. It's difficult to break that habit all of a sudden of putting the hand in the mouth. But it should be stopped. If we hear the recordings of Srila Prabhupada's conversations, then we'll see how he speaks to people who are not devotees. Just like this morning, we were listening, and Srila Prabhupada, the people were asking questions, but Srila Prabhupada told them that actually your question is not even the right question. He told them, your question should be, what is the aim of life? He brought them to the right point, or at least he tried to, because One professor, Srila Prabhupada was speaking to, he said, I'm interested in transcendence. And then Srila Prabhupada said, well, what do you mean by transcendence? So like this, you can hear how Srila Prabhupada preached. I myself, about 30 years ago, I took a course from Srila Prabhupada about how to meet non-devotees and speak to them. It means I listened to his lectures and recordings specifically with the purpose of imbibing how Srila Prabhupada faced different challenges, how he would answer different questions. So how to explain to people, to try to bring them into devotional service, that may be different with different people. So an expert doctor knows how to diagnose the situation of each particular patient and give the appropriate treatment. So it takes some time to become a doctor. First of all, one should be cured oneself. All right, so I'll go upstairs.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Will you chant one big Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna. Krishna.